Title of this morning's message is, Are You Lost or Found? I don't know how many funerals I've been to where they sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And though I'm not the final judge, and neither are you, but we do understand what fruit looks like in the kingdom. And so there are those who will sing that song and yet not really understand what it means. And sometimes we like to give ourselves grace, you know. And sometimes you need to. I mean, if God gives you grace, then you need to give yourself grace too. Are you hearing me? That way. But not the other way around, where you give yourself grace and call that good. My goodness is not good enough. It's not about me being righteous enough for God. It's God imputing and giving to me His righteousness. But in these funerals, you watch people who are singing that song, because most people know that. People that don't know Jesus know that song, and they'll sing that song, and yet they don't know the Lord. I once was lost, but now am found. And I want to talk about that today, because often when we talk about being lost, in the Army we had this saying, I'm not lost, I'm just misorientated. You know, you'd be out navigating somewhere and you got off course. You never got lost, you just got a little misorientated, you know. You know, in the kingdom, it's possible for us to get misorientated and to lose our way. And anybody beside myself ever been there? You've got off course at least once in your Christian experience, okay? So I want to talk about Luke chapter 15 this morning, if you want to turn your Bibles to that, from the perspective of the body of Christ primarily. And there's a reason why I believe that this is really where this should be, because chapter 15 of Luke is because Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice. Jesus knows those who are actually His. How many realize that when Jesus showed up on this planet, most of the people were not His? He only had a few that were actually His sheep. And He came to the lost sheep of Israel. John tells us He came unto His own, but His own did not receive Him at that time. The Jews rejected Him and crucified Him. But to as many as received Him, to them He gave the authority to become the sons of God, the power, exousia, to become sons and daughters of the Most High God. So Jesus was very clear about those who belong to Him. And there are also those who may think that they belong to Him who don't. And we need to understand what that looks like. What does it look like to be a believer or a follower of Jesus? So Luke chapter 15, verse 3. There's three parables. If we have time, we're going to get to them today. And the first one is one that is lost to God's protection or God's safety. In verse 3, He spoke this parable to them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost, until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. It's interesting that He finishes each one of these parables with repentance. He talks about the joy in heaven, but the joy in heaven was a result of repentance. So it's not just that Jesus went out looking. Jesus does go out looking. But there has to be a response when He calls your name. How many would agree with that? That's why we need preachers. That's why we need people to go and tell people about Jesus, as they hear the message, they hear the gospel, then they have an opportunity to respond to His voice, if they're hearing His voice and they don't harden their hearts. And in James 5:19, He said, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul, not a body, but a soul from death, and cover a multitude of sins." There's a connection between these two passages, folks. Those who have wandered away or have left the safety of the fold, the safety of the flock, the safety of gathering together in His name. How many realize that when a sheep leaves or wanders away from the fold, he becomes prey? He becomes vulnerable. And the enemy is lying to many people, many Christians today. And he's working very, very hard to separate and to single out, especially the young ones and the weak ones. So if they listen to the wrong voice, they'll begin to wander away from the fold, wander away from the security of the body. When I was reading this, this is what the Lord showed me, that this is not just referring to someone who didn't know the way, but someone who was part of the fold, who was a member of His household, His sheep, who had decided to go their own way, and they became lost. And as a result, the shepherd went looking for that lost sheep. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just say, You messed up this time, I'm done with you? If that was the case, I think we'd all be toast, for lack of a better term, right? So God, in His mercy, He comes looking for us. He comes calling for us, just like He called out to Adam. He comes looking for us. And the question is, are we going to listen to His voice and be restored to fellowship? Because our fellowship was with the Father and with the Son. Amen? Our fellowship is with the body, who is Christ's body on the earth. We, the church, make up the body of Christ. He is the head, but we are His body on the earth. And God has called us together to gather in His name. And He said, whenever you do gather together, and it doesn't have to be in this building, amen, you can have fellowship, you can have church, if you will, at home, with your family, at the coffee shop, yes. But it's important that we are joining together. We're entering into the summer months here, and I like getting away occasionally. You know, it's necessary to get away and just kind of relax and let things rest a little bit, settle and kind of get recalibrated, if you will. But Jesuk and I, we always look forward to, like, if we're away on a Sunday, we go, let's go explore and just see what's going on in the other churches, you know, and we'll go through the yellow pages or go online and look, see what's in the area and look for something that appears to be a red hot church. You know, we're not looking for the church, first church or the frozen chosen or whatever. We're looking for a red hot church somewhere, you know. So we'll usually pick out names like Full Gospel or Assembly of God or Church of God, you know, or Vineyard or something like that. So Foursquare is another one. And connect and see what's happening. And in some cases, we've been pleasantly blessed. In other cases, we've been very disappointed. But no matter what, we need to be in fellowship. Even if we're on vacation, folks, don't take a vacation from God. Amen? Stay connected. It's easy to get disconnected when you're on vacation. You know that. I know that. Stay connected, because what happens is a sheep becomes vulnerable when he separates himself. And We usually start out thinking that we're pretty strong and we're able to hold it together, you know, independent spirit, you know, in America especially. And but yet it's not God's will. It's not God's will that we should be isolated and that we should be separated. God's will is that we gather together in His name, because He said, when you do that, I will be there in your midst. We talk about communion. What is communion? Communion is meeting with God in the Spirit. And it's the family, it's the body of Christ coming together to have communion with God in the Spirit. So, I was told by a pastor friend of mine that, well, don't talk to people about coming to church, because if you do, they will get on a guilt trip and then they'll stay away. Because if they miss a service or whatever, they're going to say, oh, I missed church, and they're going to judge me now when I come back to church. So I'm, you know, it can have the opposite effect. I don't know if I agree with that. I believe that if you love somebody, you just tell them, this is the way it is. This is not my opinion. It's what the Word says. Amen. Hebrews 10 says, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And we know that the day of the Lord is coming. And if ever there was a time that we need each other, it's now. How many are always, I'm never disappointed when I come together with my family. Amen. With my church family. And I often hear a lot of voices, you know, even on vacation, that are calling you away, that are screaming for your attention to try to draw you away from fellowship. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. There's that other voice that's always working on us to try to get us to do something else. If church gathering was not that important, why would the enemy work so hard to prevent it? And I can tell you testimony after testimony, story after story of people who began well, but they started slowly disconnecting from the body. And eventually they ended up being shipwrecked, in some cases completely shipwrecked. And it's arrogant for any one of us, including me, to think that I don't really need the fellowship of the body of Christ. Because it's in that place of gathering where you're going to receive the nourishment from which each joint supplies. That's what Paul told the Corinthians, that we need to be together in fellowship, because there is nourishment that you're going to receive from your brothers and your sisters. And also there's something that you have that God has given you that is for the benefit of edifying or building up the body of Christ. The Lord has got His eyes on His church, His people, amen? Not denominations, but the gathering of the saints. It's in that place where the Lord said, when you're gathered in My name, I will be there. There is a special blessing. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all righteousness. Now, not everybody is God's sheep. The Pharisees, He said, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in Him. When He speaks a lie, He speaks from His own resources, for He is a liar and the father of it. Who are God's sheep? God's sheep are those who listen to His voice. Those who hear His voice and obey it are the sheep of the Lord. Amen? Now, the Pharisees thought, because they were the shoe-in, you know, religious people representing the Torah and, you know, the law and the prophets, they were teachers of the law, they thought that that automatically made them, you know, a child of God, because they were natural seed of Abraham. And they contested Jesus on that. Do you remember? It says, we have Abraham to our father. And Jesus says, you're not of Abraham, not the true Israel of God, but you're of your father, the devil. Why did he say that? Because here was God incarnate, God standing before them in the person of Jesus the Son. Amen. And they were rejecting him. So they didn't know God. If they did, they would have received the words of Jesus and known that that was God. Amen. That had come. The Messiah had come. So he says, you're not. Not everybody is a child of God. I hear people say, well, we're all children of God in the earth. No, you're not. Not everybody is a child of God. The people that belong to Jesus will hear his voice. They will know his voice. They won't follow another. There are sometimes folks when maybe we're trying in our own effort, our own strength, and our own wisdom, and our own cleverness to try to debate or win somebody to Jesus. But how many have run into people where you just, no matter what you say, they're just not going to get it? You can even be speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and there are going to be people who are just not going to get it, folks. People didn't get it when Jesus spoke. The Pharisees didn't get it when he spoke. Amen? And so, not everybody belongs to God. Not everybody is his sheep. All I can say, folks, is I don't understand all the mysteries. I don't know all of it. There's a lot I don't know, but this I do know, that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. That he saved me, amen? And he calls me his own. I belong to him. My heart is now to love and serve him and to honor him. And I know that he's faithful to me, even when I'm faithless. He says, my sheep hear my voice, John 10:27. And I know them, and they follow me. How many have heard the term Lone Ranger? There are no Lone Rangers in the kingdom. We're called together to be a body, amen? In John 15:6, Jesus said, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now that word, I looked up that word abide, and it means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. It also means to abide, to continue to dwell, endure, to be present, to remain. In other words, if anyone does not remain in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Who's he talking to? He's talking to those who were connected and have disconnected. You understand our responsibility to stand by faith is to continue to believe, to continue to put our full trust in Jesus and his ability alone to keep us. Not in my own ability, because when I get self-confident, I get cocky, I get proud, I begin to think that I can do it now. And I begin to disconnect from fellowship because they're not going to miss me. And chances are you're not going to miss your family either. Why? Because now you've decided to launch out on your own. And that's the most vulnerable place to be. I especially see this, and it's so tough in this age where there are so many distractions. But especially people that are just coming to Jesus. They haven't even got their legs yet, their sea legs. They're just getting started. The enemy right away wants to come and snatch them. And he wants to pull them away. And there's all kinds of voices out there. All kinds of people that will speak into their life, and they will use great swelling words, and they will lure them away from Christ. And they'll have them follow them instead of Christ. There are many self-appointed. You know, that's what Jesus was talking about the Pharisees. He says, you're basically operating out of your own resources. You're your own God. You're not listening to God's voice. You're listening to your own voice. How many prophets have we run into, right, that are really listening to their own voice and saying, God says, when God has not said? We got to really be careful, don't we? If God is saying it, he's going to bear witness with his spirit and the spirit of the one who's hearing. It'll be a confirmation, like when Dick Williams will prophesy, You know that you're hearing from God because it's a very confirmation of what God has already put in your heart. It's simply bringing to light that which was maybe a dim ember. And when the prophetic word comes, it lights up again and you're once again reminded of the promises of God. In the New Living Translation, John 15:6, it says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Now, it's true that some people are unaware that they're lost. And they need to be made aware of their true condition. That's why we have the Word, amen? And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. By hearing the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word. Now, other people are aware that they're lost, but they don't know how to get back. You know what I'm saying? I was one of those that knew I was lost and just didn't know how to get back. I didn't know where to go or who to turn to. And that's what our responsibility is, amen, is to tell people Jesus is the way. Point them to He who is the way. And the thought was this, is people who disconnect from the body of Christ, either they don't know the shepherd's voice in the first place, or they've been led astray by the devil. The devil is very slick. If he can get us to start listening to him, then he has a way of putting the blinders on us. Every time we give in and we listen to his voice, we become a little darker and a little more blinder. If that's proper English, I don't know. But we become blinder. And so we have to be very careful that we don't yield or listen to that voice, because the devil wants to blind us to our true condition. In the Church of Laodicea, they thought that they were doing well, but they did not realize their true condition, that they were lukewarm. And God says, I'm ready to spit you out. I'd rather that you be hot or cold. And only the Holy Spirit can do that, can really show us where we're at in our walk. Because we're good at giving ourselves grace again. We're good at saying, you're doing all right. You know? What's another day, another Sunday, another this, another that? I don't need to pray today. I don't need to be in the Word today. I'm doing good. And as soon as we start to think we're doing good, your focus is on you and not on Christ. And whenever we get our focus off of Him and put it on us, we fall from grace. Because grace is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's full of mercy and grace. Amen? Truth. Now the early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says that continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You understand the connection between the church gathering and the harvest being brought in? Do you see it? They met daily, breaking of bread from house to house, ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So this really parable speaks to, of those who have been lost to fellowship. The second one is Luke chapter 15, verse 8. This is speaks to those who are lost to usefulness. He said, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who... What was happening here? The coin represents those who are lost, listen, in the house. The first one referred to those who are outside of fellowship, outside of the fold, outside of Christ. Amen? They were in Christ, but they left. Do you understand there is a connection between being in the body and being in Christ? Being connected to the body. We are members of Christ, but we have to remain in Christ. Remain in Him. Remain in fellowship with the Father and the Son. Amen? And come together as often as we can. This one is talking about someone who is actually in the house. Look at it. She says in verse 9, he said, when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Now look at verse 8. It says that when she lost this coin, she did what? She lit up a lamp and then swept the house and searched carefully until she found it. What is the lamp? The lamp is the Holy Spirit. And what does the dust represent? The dust represents dirt. And if a house has a lot of dust in it, what does it speak of? Neglect. It speaks of idleness. It speaks of the fact that this coin had been lost in the dust of idleness. It had been lost to its usefulness. And there are many in church, many in Christ even, many in the body who have been lost to their usefulness. They come, we sing the songs, we do the church thing, but we're not connected to the purpose of God. We're not involved in what God's purpose is for us. We're being useless because we've settled into a place of complacency and in some cases apathy where you don't even care anymore whether it gets done or not. And it means that we've lost sight of Christ and His sacrifice and what He's done for us, that He paid with His own blood for people, amen? And His heart is to see His church, His bride, His body edified, to be built up, to be encouraged, to be made beautiful as each member supplies what the other is lacking as we're working together to build one another, amen? Doing whatever we can to stir up love and good works among one another. If we become idle and complacent, then we end up becoming lost in the house. And there are many people who feel, well, I don't have anything to offer. That is a lie from the devil. Every one of us here has a word. You can encourage, you can pray for people, amen? There's places where you can serve. Amen? Even in the local church, in the local body, you know, we need people to come together. Why? Because we need a place where people can come in and receive the word, that can receive encouragement. Amen? Receive prayer. Receive help. This is a hospital for the sick. Amen? It's not for the righteous. It's for all of us who are in this thing. Amen? Being made beautiful in Jesus. But it's not possible unless everybody is in their place doing what they're called to do. And the enemy will say, well, your job is just to go and show up, punch the clock at the door, say, yeah, I did my church thing. Now it's off to, you know, for me now to live for myself the rest of the week. No, you've been called out of this world for His service. Every one of us has been called to serve the Lord. Everyone in this room has been called to serve Jesus. And to serve Him in the capacity of your calling, of that which He has gifted you to do. And every one of us needs to discover what our purpose is. Because if we don't utilize what we have, we end up losing what we have. There's coming a day when we're all going to see Jesus. And we're going to give an account of that which we had known, that which we had received from Him. What have we done with His investment? The investment of His grace in our lives. What have we done with what He's given us? Have we taken what we've received and have we found others that we can now share it with? It's a sobering thought, isn't it? I want to be found faithful to the Lord. I'm not talking about a judgment to go to hell. I'm talking about the day when we see Jesus. What I want to do what I want to see is Jesus smiling in that day and saying, I know who you are. Well done, my good and faithful servant. We're called to serve the Lord. Amen. And to serve the body of Christ. Each member, the hand cannot say, I am not important. Because when the hand's not there, you know it. Amen? I never, folks, want to shame or guilt anybody into obedience. I want people to hear God's voice and do what He says. I'm always pointing to Jesus here. I'm always saying, listen to His voice. What is God saying? You can't please everybody. You can't please people. But you can please God by saying yes to His voice. Amen? And no to yourself. And if you want to have life and peace, it's a matter of daily saying yes to God and no to me. If you want to die spiritually, just start saying yes to everything you want. And you think is important, and no to God, and you'll wither. You'll fall away. You'll be like that branch that withers. Amen? And it will become useless. And so those who are lost to usefulness are like that coin that's been lost in the dust of idleness. And so God calls this type of individual to repent. It is a sin to receive of the Lord's grace and not invest it. Did you hear that? It's a sin, folks, to receive of God's grace and not give and not bless. When a coin is lost, not only is the base metal lost, but all the good it could accomplish. Don't ever think that you're not valuable. Don't ever think that you don't have value. That you're just a nobody, because if you're a child of God, you're somebody. You have value, you have purpose, you have worth, and your worth is found in Christ, in your identity in Christ. Amen. Not in what others even think or say about you. If you live by that, you'll be distracted all the time, trying to please everybody. The only one you need to please is Jesus. Amen. But just make sure you're listening to His voice. When we live in spiritual idleness, we're lost to productivity in the kingdom. So what do we do? What's the way back, folks? It's confession. And we need to renounce the sin of apathy. And we need to return to faith in Jesus with all of our hearts. And this is the way back to usefulness. And then the third parable here is in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And this is referring to those who are lost to fellowship with the Father. You all know this one very well. It's talking about the prodigal son here. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them to his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. Isn't that the way the world is? You think it's going to fill you, and you end up starving to death. In verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? What's the deal here, folks? It's another person who is disconnected. Disconnected from the Father and His people, from the fold. And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Has anybody ever felt that way? But what did the father do? He said, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand. Sandals on his feet. That's a sign of sonship. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found. That's what it means to be found. It's to be back in fellowship with Father. Amen? And they had a party. A celebration. They began to be merry. What happened is the son, he came to himself in verse 17. He woke up. He says, what am I doing out here in spiritual poverty zone, you know, Povertyville, when there's a banquet at my father's house? How many have discovered that God will fill you right up, and he will fill your deepest longings, the deepest longings of your heart, that the Lord, his presence, he will satisfy you like nothing else in this world. Amen. The things of this world are temporary. They're like the new toy. It's only good for maybe a few days, and then it's like, well, I need another toy because that one's old already. But that's not the way it is in God. God is the one who truly satisfies our soul. And he's allowed us to come to him and dine at his table and enjoy his fellowship, his presence. And that presence, folks, is also when we're together here in his name. We're having communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, as his body. It's important that we stay connected. And he repented in verse 17. And this, of course, is speaking of the backslider, isn't it? I know we often use that parable when we're talking about salvation, about someone being lost. And it's a good parable for that, amen? To say that mankind is lost, humanity is lost, and God is not willing that anyone should perish. But that all would come to repentance, that all would change their mind, that all would turn around and return to God, amen, so that they might be forgiven, their sins might be blotted out, that their names will be in heaven, that they'll be restored to fellowship. But I see, folks, a son who was with his father, who of his own choice decided to go his own way, and he wasted the gift of God, he wasted the investment of God, the grace of God, on himself for this world. And by the grace of God, he came to his own senses because life got pretty nasty. Thank God sometimes his grace shows up in the difficulties of our lives. Amen. It's the difficulties that often will draw us back to him so that he can be gracious to us. He can be good to us. He can bless us. He wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. But he can't if we don't come to him. And then when we come back, we say, oh, yeah. Ah, now I remember how good it is to be in Father's house. Amen. We're not talking about a church building. We're talking about fellowship in the Spirit. But we gather in a building. Amen. And we are the body of Christ. And there's been times when people, I'm willing to bet there are people that are not here this morning that I haven't seen for some time now that aren't going to church anywhere. They're just kind of out there doing their own thing right now. They have been deceived and they have been lied to, and the devil has told them it's not that important that you go to church. They're already deceived, folks. Because what's happened is they have forgotten how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it is in that place where God commands the blessing, amen, and the anointing of His Spirit, His life to be released into us, where we receive nourishment, where we are built up, a spiritual house, a habitation of God in the Spirit, that we may offer corporately sacrifices of praise, amen, to His name, that are acceptable to the Lord. Ah, people get upset because I'm talking about coming to church. But folks, this is so important. It's God's desire, God's heart. And people who don't think it's important have been led astray. They've been deceived. I always say this because it's true. But people who are consistent in coming together, fellowship. I don't care where it's at. You can, like I said, you can have church at home. Amen. But God wants you to be part of His body, because you're limited when you're only two or three. Amen. But when you're in a larger group, you're going to have the benefit of the multiplicity of giftings and graces that God has given. That's why it's good. Amen. Sometimes even to do bigger, to get outside of our walls and do something with other people and other churches, to cross-pollinate with other believers. Amen. It's not all about us. But we're part of something much bigger than ourselves. We're part of a kingdom. But it is God's desire that the flock will come together in His name. And do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the Lord is saying, don't be deceived by the temporal things, temporal satisfaction that the world can give you, because the world will always leave you empty. How many have discovered that? You get the buzz, and then it's like, now what? I need another buzz. And each time you end up emptier and emptier, because isn't it interesting how the devil always takes more than he gives? I mean, he does give pleasure, but he always leaves you way more empty than where you started. There's a higher cost to pay, isn't there? And on Wednesday, we were talking about short-term pain for long-term gain. Sometimes we have to endure the pain of saying no to a relationship that's not of God. We need to say no to the desire to get high. Amen? And there's pain if you're an addict in saying no to that drug. But every time you say no to that, what you're doing is you're securing an abundant future for yourself. Short-term pain for long-term gain. It's worth it. The pain of having to pray when you don't feel like it. Your body says, I don't want to get up. I don't want to pray. And you say, no, I'm going to obey that voice that says pray. And I'm going to say no to me. And when you do, you encounter the grace, amen, the mercy, the love, the strength, the encouragement of God, the fellowship. For what? Long-term gain, because that which is seen is temporal. But that which is not seen is eternal. And we're living for eternity. How many times we've wanted to compromise? You're in a group of people, they're talking this way, and it's against your convictions. Ah. Guys, you're in the group, you know, you're at work, and all of a sudden the dirty joke comes up, you know. Mm-hmm. What's the short-term pain? And saying, I'm just not going to be a part of that. Excuse me, guys. You don't have to be rude. Just say, excuse me, I have something else I need to be doing. Amen? And but the long-term gain is that God says, there's my beloved son. That's my daughter right there. Check it out, Satan. You know, just like he did with Job. Satan and God were having this discussion. He says, he's going to curse you to your face. Have you considered my servant Job? God says he was boasting on Job. Isn't that the way Father does it? He said, look at Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. How could he say that? Because Jesus always did what pleased the Father. Because Jesus only lived for the Father's will. Jesus didn't have his own agenda. Jesus didn't do his own thing. He did what the Father told him to do. And that's why he was validated by the Father. That's why we also are validated when we say no to sin, yes to Jesus. You know, if we just start doing the yeses, we don't have time for the noes. If you're on mission and you've got vision, you've got a goal, you know who you are and what you've been called to do, and you're on task, you're living according to the will and purpose of God, you don't have time for all the junk, the distractions. My life is to be lived now for the one who redeemed me with his own blood. I'm going to finish with this question. Are you lost to safety today? Have you been disconnected from the people of God? Thank God you're here today. Maybe you've been lost to usefulness. I'm going to ask you, have you been living in spiritual idleness? I mean, you know, God wants us to repent of the sin of apathy. He has a mission. Jesus gave us the commission in Matthew 28 to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Our lives are to be lived around that right there of what? Getting the word out, letting people know about Jesus wherever we live, wherever our circle is of influence, to be light and to be salt in that place. Amen? And there's no time for idleness when Jesus had suffered and died for the souls of people. Amen? And you and I have been given the information, the knowledge, the understanding of the will of God and what the purpose of God is, and that is to be salt and to be light in this world. Folks, we don't have time to sit around and be idle. Amen? Pray for the Lord's will to be done in your life. And pray that the Lord will send forth laborers into the harvest field, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are still few. There are most churches, folks, they have about 20%, as you know, are doing the work. I think we have a higher ratio than that. There's more people doing the work here. Amen. Not everybody's called to work within the church bubble, if you will. Amen. But we're all called to serve the Lord. And you need to know what He's called you to do. But I will say this, pray and ask God if there's something that He would have you to do to help your church, this local church. How can I be a blessing to the work of God? This is not the work of me, it's the work of the Lord. Amen? This, what we're doing today, is not my thing, it's His thing. And I'm just a servant. I'm just a steward of His money, of His grace, of what He's invested in me. He has put divine money in each one of us, and we're stewards of that. To take what we receive and to give, to invest, to edify, to build up, to encourage. You know, people come into this church and they just say, man, there's people really love here. You know, you can feel the warmth. People love each other here. And, you know, that's what people are looking for. They're looking for a family. They're looking for a place to connect. And it's not this fake stuff like you get from some of these cults that run around with these fake smiles, trying to make you believe that life is all rosy when they haven't even entered into life. But we're talking about the authentic love of God. Amen? Where we really do care for one another. We need to be forgiving one another. Amen? We're going to offend each other sometime, some way. It's not intentional. Most of the time it's not. But it happens. What am I to do? I have every opportunity, folks, to get offended, believe me, in a week. And I just have to die to myself and to that part of me that wants to take the offense. I said, no. No, you're not going to rise your head, ugly head up and grab a hold of that. I have to say yes to the Spirit, and the Spirit says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Amen? Amen? Do the opposite. Keep it off of you. If you feel like there's an offense or someone, go to them. Talk to them and say, listen, I need to talk. And pray and get God direct you. But be honest with each other. If there's an offense, deal with it right away. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Deal with it right away. Lest the enemy gets a root of bitterness, amen, in you and I, and we can defile many with our bitterness. We can be like a poisonous weed. And so, forgive. Do it quickly. Reconcile whenever possible. We are the body of Christ. We're members of one another. We're family. And so it's necessary that we discern the body of Christ. That we are not showing partiality in the body of Christ. That we love everybody regardless of their status in this world. If they are a child of God, they are my family. And we are to love one another. Amen? There's no second-class citizens in the kingdom. And there's no superheroes except for one. Amen? So, brethren, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Would you just take a moment to bow your head and just say, "Lord, is there anybody here, or maybe anybody in my life that I need to forgive right now?" Maybe when you even think about the person, it just causes maybe anger or animosity to grow up within you. You know, you need to let that person go. You need to release them. To forgive means to cancel the debt. To cancel the debt, it means I'm releasing you. You owe me nothing. I let you go. The debt is canceled. I choose, by the grace of God, in the name of Jesus, to forgive you. Now, I believe that as I was speaking, somebody just popped into your head. I want you right now, I want you to speak to that person. You may not be able to go to that person, but go speak to that person right now. And I want you to make a choice, a decision. Doesn't matter what they did. Just let them go, because you're going to get yourself off the hook by doing so. Just let them go. Just say, "I forgive you in Jesus' name. I release you. You owe me nothing. The debt is canceled. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving me for my sins. Now I choose to forgive those who trespass against me." Because Jesus said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of yours. So let them go right now. Take a moment, say, "Holy Spirit, is there anybody that I need to forgive right now?" And I want you just to name them. You don't have to say it out loud. Just name that person. Speak to them right now. And release them in Jesus' name.